Hey guys, welcome back to Points for Jesus again. This is just as exciting every single time I say this, and I probably will continue to say this every single time. But today I'm so happy to have my good friend Zeke Curran with us, and he has just the best testimony without fail. Like every time like you have a spiritual thought, it's just like mic drop.
At least I can drop something.
Okay. Can I ask you the question? Are you ready?
Bring on the question.
Zeke, what do you do to strive to be Christ-like every day?
I would break it up into two pieces. One is the daily things as well as the general concept of being Christ-like. Thinking about becoming Christ, more Christ-like, it's obviously applying the attributes that describe Christ, things that are charitable, hopeful, kind, benevolent, etc. Whereas the hard part is doing it every day, applying it every day. And for me, I feel like it's been a cycling thing. It changes what it is I need to work on, and perhaps that's hopefully a sign of becoming more Christ-like, realizing what other things I need to change. But the biggest one for me is, honestly, scripture study. I find the most of what I need to change and what the Spirit tells me what to do by studying the scriptures. And I do it actually with study journals, as I brought.
Yeah, I was like, the audience can't see, but you literally have three in front of you, just like beautifully, these perfect blue little journals. Like, is this all from scripture study?
Yeah, these two are just scripture study. This one is more of special, like, tender mercies situations. I have other ones for scripture study as well that they usually last me only about a year.
So, wow, that is so impressive.
Stacks.
Oh my gosh, why is that? I love that. That is so cool.
But writing down what you study helps you remember it a lot more, but also engages your mind to think about what you're actually reading and what you're doing. And where beforehand I would read through like the scriptures, like Book of Mormon, classic example, read it dozens of times, but every time I reread it, I find something new. But when I put it into words in my scripture study journals, I find more out of each individual passage that I'm either that stuck out to me or I feel like I really needed to keep special note of. And kind of set as a goal years ago that I wanted to do more scripture study journals, and I quickly started seeing payoffs, the blessings of it, of started finding all these amazing things, and then I wanted to share it with others. And so the daily piece is scripture study every day and doing it with a study journal. I have some days where I definitely struggled and I wrote like one sentence, and there's other days where it's page and page and page and page of just things that really stuck out to me I needed at the time. Two of the things I pointed out with Christ-like attributes was charity and hope. And hope is one that I've kind of come to recently start to understand more. I was very much of the attitude of, you do it because it's right, and that's it. There's no real heart into it, if you will. But as I faced other challenges over the past year and a half, I've had to really make a conscious decision to be more hopeful, because that's exactly what Christ did. If you think about his mortal ministry, where he's around Jerusalem, Galilee, etc. He's surrounded by the ruins of ancient Israel, promises made to the fathers, falling apart around him. And then he's trying to teach his covenant people that who you've been waiting for is here, and they don't believe him. The hope that it would have taken for him, for the people that he loved and covenanted with so much, to know that somehow someone in that crowd will believe is substantial. And I've had to be more conscious with being more hopeful with the challenges I've faced, of things that are more minor, whether it's doing well on a test that I'm not sure I was prepared for.
But I feel that one.
but being hopeful has been surprisingly a challenging task. There are some moments where it's like, nope, it's all dark skies ahead, and that's all I see.
Yeah. I definitely understand that one. I think I just really love how, like, I don't know, like, I just feel like, looking back in my own personal scripture study, like, I go in these ways. Like, by all means, I am not perfect. And none of us are.
Nope.
And I feel like some of us are just really blessed with being really avid, like, readers in general. And others, like, for me, it is so hard. It's so hard. And I just think about, like, this story you just told, like, it's just such elegance, like, just the power. Like, most of us would read that in the scriptures over the verses, kind of scan it over and take it as is. But the way, like, I don't know if you, like you said, like, you take that second and think of how much you were able to gain from it, like, this hope, right? To be able to read the story and, like, wait, there's something so much more I can learn from. And that was just one story.
Yeah. Actually, one earlier today was at devotional, Elder Egbo came, and one of the scriptures he referenced was Matthew 16, where he's asking his disciples, where Jesus is asking his disciples, what do others say who it is that I am? And then he asks his disciples, what say you who it is that I am? And Peter answers first that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. First time reading the New Testament, I was like, yep, that's right. And then kind of just continued on.
Yeah.
But over time, I've learned a bit more meaning behind Christ. And when he said it earlier today, it really stuck out to me of this one simple verse and this one simple answer that was inspired by Revelation carries so much meaning in all the covenant context of everything beforehand, because Christ is a deliverer. He redeems. And that's exactly what the story was with Israel being delivered out of Egypt, and the whole covenants made with the law of Moses is all about deliverance and remembrance. The Passover, remembering their deliverance, that a king would come and deliver them. Jesus being the Christ, and that Peter would know that by revelation, gives more context to all of his parables he does when he talks about inaugurating his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like unto mustard seed, or the kingdom of the marriage feast, and so on and so forth. There's all this talks of the kingdom, because there is a king, and his goal is to deliver. And that's exactly what he did with his atonement. So to say that Jesus is the Christ carries so significant, so much meaning, that carries over all the historical context of all the covenants, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And sometimes we either don't know, or just we're in a busy moment, we're trying to read through the scriptures, and we miss little details like that, or how loaded it was of that statement.
Like the power of, like, you know, behind it. That reminds me, you saying that, of on my mission, I remember, this is while I was in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I have so much love for Scranton and my time there. And specifically, there's a dear friend of mine, and we were in church, and, you know, and there's four kids. And, like, it's hard. It's so hard to sit in church, and I totally understand. And these four kids are, you know, they're trying to give their best.
Yeah.
And then their dad said something that has forever stuck with me. Like, I think about this, and then, like, now when I'm in church, like, I try to, like, replay it back in my mind of just why I'm really there. And, I don't know, looking like, more than just inward to myself. But he says to his kids as they're kind of getting a little rowdy.
As all kids do.
Yeah. He looks them, and he goes, hey, we need to give them the same respect they deserve, because they took the time to write this. Like, they took time out of their busy lives to make and deliver something. This talk, you know, a great importance, something that was to their heart. We need to give them the respect of that. We don't get the right to sit here and do whatever we want, because they gave everything for us to hear this.
They prepared for it.
They prepared for it. And it just, that struck me of, like, someone took the time to write this, mm-hmm. to put their thoughts together and bear their heart out, to share you know, experiences are their own testimony. And do I give them the time of day that they deserve?
And typically it's only an hour.
Yeah, you're right, and it's not very long. And, you know, they're so nervous, and that makes me think, like, to the scriptures. You know, we, the New Testament, we go through and we read of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, like, literally his stories. Are we giving it the respect it deserves? With people who took the time to literally give us the opportunity to know him. Mm-hmm. Do we give it the respect that it deserves?
And I think that's a good point to make about the fact that after his resurrection, the persecution that would come to Christians would actually increase. And the fact that they would put forth the effort to not just continue to teach in areas where they would likely either be stoned or crucified or killed or in some other ways tormented, and then also write it and distribute it, deserves quite a bit of respect. But it also testifies to the power of their testimonies they had. Because if you think about those 12 men, without a single synagogue or sword, changed the course of the world. Nothing more than a testimony and maybe a few written epistles. That testimony alone, in thinking about that, does deserve the time and respect and the moment to really reflect on what it is that they wrote down and gave their lives for.
Exactly. And these men, I mean how heroic, I mean, for what they've done and what a blessing it is to us. And in no way is the comparison of, like, we're not doing enough, you know, and to shame, but it is just something to come back to remembrance to, of these aren't just pages. This isn't just some history book, you know, that we have to read for an assignment. No. This is God's word.
Yep.
This is literally what we need to find everlasting joy is written all within those pages.
And the biggest thing from to give respect to those pages is to believe and apply what they wrote. They testified of Christ, of his life. And then, post-resurrection, they testified of what he taught, the miracles they saw. And they would hope that it would carry it to the hearts of everyone else they would talk to. The scriptures are written to encourage us, indeed, but they're also written to persuade us of Christ. And the best way we can really understand that is by applying them. Gives them the respect that went into them, and it gives us a chance to really understand more about our Savior Jesus Christ.
I love that. I like kind of like taking a moment, like internalizing what you just said, like being so real right now, like internalizing, like what am I doing to, like, really, I don't know, like, just take in Jesus Christ. And, you know, we, on this podcast, like, I ask people, you know, what do you do to be Christ-like? And it's like, well, why do I not just read exactly what he did? Like, what made up Christ? Like, what did he do, quite literally? And we're so blessed, like, also, like, to kind of throw it in there, like, I love that we have, like, the Chosen.
Bear Chosen is awesome.
I love that we have the Chosen, okay? Because, like, it's like we read about the script, like, mm-hmm. we read, you know, those things, but then it's like, boom, right in front of us.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
You're literally seeing it. And, like, the connections, like, is even deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And it's like, I'm able to, like, just, like, take in, like, oh my gosh, like, that's Christ.
And as much as they've taken some cinematic liberties, it's very immersive. They put effort and time into the details.
Yeah.
That makes it more immersive and gives you perspective that I think other times we easily miss.
Yeah.
Only on the pages. And I love it for that.
Yeah. And imagine being able to, like, then dive into your own reading, right? And being able to, like, have this picture in mind, but, like, now, like, start your own journal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, write up the things, like, when you're reading the pages, what fills your mind, like, write it down. Like, this is, it's not just something to be read. to check off the box. Like, that's not what it is. And, like, by all means, does it take time to, like, really, like, get into it? Of course.
Yep.
You know, it's consistent effort. But if you want something, like, what are you going to do about it? Like, what are you going to change to really, like, read the scriptures and be like, I get it. You know, like, that moment light bulb, like, I get it.
You could light up Las Vegas for a week.
Literally. Okay, that's what the scriptures will do, okay? Like, light in the world, action here, like, bushel that cannot be hidden. Like, this is what we're talking about. This is, like, the good stuff.
It is. Something I find, actually, growing up, everyone says that it's not a sprint, it's an endurance race. And I was like, that's dumb, I hate this. Like, I heard it 1,000 times, I was like, whatever. But from my own scripture study, I've come to realize, like, it's not about how many verses and chapters, whatever, you can cram in within a set period of time, but more of how much can you really devote your heart and your mind within the time you have. Whether it's like 15 minutes in the morning before you take off to work, or 15 minutes in the evening before you go to bed, 15, 30 minutes, whatever it is, can you really put your heart and your mind into it for the time you have?
Like, say that again, like that line with heart and mind. Like, say that again.
Can you devote your heart and your mind within the time you have?
That is so good. That is so good. I hope to never forget that. And I hope listeners, like, write that down. That is so good. And I feel like that just, like, blew my mind. Like, actually, like, I'm like, wow. Like, I think that changes the perspective completely.
Well, you get more out of it. Because, yeah, sure, you could sprint through a bunch of verses, close it, and be like, yeah, Nephi did something. Can't remember what it was. But I made it through 3 chapters. Or you can spend the time going through, and you'll find that the Spirit will make certain things stand out to you. At least for me, that's how it is. It's like, hang on, you need to focus more on this piece. And so I do, and then it starts, like, it goes from, like, kind of fading from a blackout, like, things become clear. It's like, oh, I see where this goes, I see what he's talking about here. Because beforehand I was like, sure, Nephi, that makes total sense. I have no idea what you're saying when you're quoting Isaiah, but great. But when you spend the actual time, you start to realize what it is he's trying to get at. Because Nephi, when he's quoting Isaiah, he's like, Isaiah's fantastic. He makes perfect sense. And it's like, okay, Nephi, not everyone's like you. Not everybody can just...
He said, I'm not as lucky. I don't really understand.
But one thing I actually noticed in my current go-through of the Book of Mormon with my study journal is Nephi points out before he quotes Isaiah, and at the end of it, he says, hey, if you want to understand Isaiah, here's the tips and tricks. Understand the situation and relationship with the Jews. Understand Isaiah talks so much about Christ and points out these duplicate and repetitive meanings of Israel and the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, as well as the correlation with that with Christ. And I was like, okay, that helps. And so then it requires more effort on my part to really focus in on what he's saying, when he's, at least in the sense of quoting Isaiah. Thankfully, there's other parts where he's like, I delight in plainness. I'm like, so do I. Let's go. But the value of pouring the mind helps understanding. The value of pouring the heart allows you to take it in, to change. And I want to talk on this a little bit because it's sitting on my mind right now of another attribute of Christ, which is charity. On my mission, they tell you, like, hey, you should study attributes of Christ and do better with them. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll pick charity. And just kind of pick from the list. Charity sounds like a good one. And I started reading it. I was like, oh, yeah, charity's like loving people, being nice. No, it's way more than that. And I'm not going to share all the details of what I've learned from it, except for this. It mattered most when it came time to apply it. Because despite how many pages I was writing about charity and all the cool verses I thought were connecting with it, it mattered most when it came time to apply it. And in that moment, it was with my companion that we had kind of butted heads a little bit for some time. And it's one of those moments where the Spirit's like, yeah, you know how to do this. And it's like, we're kind of being like a bit of a wrestle. And it's like, you know what you need to do. And in my case, I was like, I know, but that's going to be awkward. It's going to be weird. It's going to be whatever, right? Just throwing up every excuse I can. And the Spirit's like, no, no. You know how to apply this in this moment. And I was like, fine, you win. So I get up, I walk to where my campaign is packing, because we had just got our transfers, and he was going to be transferred out of the area. And I feel like this is where it went from me trying to say something and then try to end the conversation or whatever to just spirit, like, say as little as possible. Which I feel like is usually the opposite of what we try to do. And I simply asked him, like, you done packing? And he said, yep. And I said, no, you're not. And I gave him something that we had kind of squabbled over for the past, like, two transfers. And then that's when the spirit, like, kind of pricked my heart. And I'm like, all right, I'm done. I got to leave the room. I was like, I can't. It's too much love. I just can't handle it. So I go and sit down at my desk, and he comes back around the corner, and he doesn't say a word, but you could just immediately feel it. The application is sometimes the most simplest of things, but has the most profound impact. And the only way I could really describe it is you could a palpable love between my companion and I that up until that, like, that very moment of that night, we're at odds. And he ended up becoming a really good friend of mine afterwards. We never were companions again, but seeing him in other areas was like, how's it going? How's your area? Everything's going on great. It matters most when it comes down to the time of application. It is those opportunities that you can't miss. Don't miss them. Because you never know whose life could change, whether it's yours or someone else's. And in my case, both of us. For me, it kind of like helped me really understand, like, okay, charity is more than just something you study about. In the case of becoming more like Christ, it's simple things you do of really coming to really love someone. In the case of charity,
I love that. And how real is that? Like, I love when you really emphasize, like, it comes right down to, like, that application, right in that moment. It's like, because it's not like in that moment you're just like, oh shoot, what Christ, like, attribute am I working on again? Like, okay, charity, like,
how do I love somebody?
You know, you don't remember any of those things anymore. All of a sudden,
the Spirit, like, tells you what to do.
Yeah, and it comes in, and that's when it goes down to, like, being Christ-like. Because being Christ-like, yes, is something we work on, but over time, it just becomes who we are. And that was the moment of application where, I mean, you could have chose to do who knows what.
Just ignored him, whatever. And I would have missed out on a very, very memorable experience with not just the Spirit, but with that companion.
Exactly. I mean, one, now you're able to talk about and be like, that was a moment of being Christ-like. And because of that one moment, I can guarantee that I'm sure that you've had so many posts that you built upon. And now charity maybe comes a little bit easier than maybe it did before.
I would say it definitely does come easier, and I definitely am more charitable, I think. At least I like to think so. But every time I think of something I do need to change, that's the memory that comes to mind. It's always that memory. So it's, I guess you could say, one of those, like, cornerstone experiences, perhaps. But in the case of when I was mentioning about hope, it's become more for that. It's like, okay, well, you can read about hope, you can talk about hope all you want, but until you choose to hope, or in the case of faith, believe, which is very similar to hope, until you choose to do that, you can read and write about it all day long, and it won't make much of a difference.
That is so good. Until you choose it. That is so good.
And it's
good.
Been hard.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Because that's how it always goes.
It is going to be hard. I mean, I think, you know, what I found, like, in being Christ-like, I mean, just, I've learned so much. I've been so blessed to learn so much. And I'm coming to learn that, like, being Christ-like, like, isn't complicated. That I know. But as imperfect human, fallen man,
it's difficult.
It can be hard because we have something fighting against us. But what's powerful is knowing that with Christ. We can overcome it when we choose to be like him.
And I think that's the value point, is maybe we get so caught up with like, well, does that, will I ever change? Will I actually overcome this? And it's, stop thinking about, will I actually be able to? Hope on, press on, believe in God. But think this, what if you do? Take a minute and look at yourself in the future of you having overcome that. How much of an impact will that have on the rest of your life or the life of somebody else if you're overcoming something either trivial or difficult? And if you focus on that part of what it will look like if you actually choose to do it and overcome it, whether it's overcoming to be more charitable or more hopeful or overcoming a sin or temptation or whatever it is, you understand and value the atonement more. You understand and value your Savior, Jesus Christ, more. Because he's the one who enabled that. And he's the one that empowers you to be able to do that. And speaking from experience here, read and learned a lot about atonement, right? Read scriptures, etc. Read, there's a book by Tad R. Callister, The Infinite Atonement. I was like, this is great stuff. But when it comes down to the moment of applying it, that's when I started to understand how much he really gave. And with the perspective of what it is, what it will be like if you did overcome, brings hope and is better than just, will I make it, will I not, I don't know. No, no, make a decision, press on, believe in God, hope on, because he suffered so that you can overcome.
That was the mic drop. I loved that. That was truly, truly inspiring. Zeke, can I ask, just putting this all together.
Okay.
What would you tell our listeners? What is one thing that you would tell them to go and do this week they can take with them to be just a little more Christ-like?
Something that I actually learned from a secular study was applying something the day you learn it. What I would invite you to do is, you probably already have something on your mind you know that you probably need to work on.
Called out.
I was called out when I heard that, and I was like, and I feel called out each and every day since. Don't delay to apply. Apply it the minute you hear this. It doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be life-altering, throwing all your stuff out the window. Just find somewhere simple to apply it, and apply it the day you learn it. Because if you apply it the day you learn it, you'll remember it better. And it will give you the motivation to keep applying the next day.
I love that. Apply exactly what you're thinking right now. It's time. And I would completely agree with that. And it's something I'm going to do too. I cannot think of a better way of striving to be more Christ-like than, well, simply just doing it. Applying exactly what it is, you know. I mean, especially, like, I just think, like, looking back over the last months, I mean, just being in those moments where, like, I had to be so conscious, you know, and really feeling what I felt and making those choices of literally applying everything I had ever learned. And it goes, did I actually learn it? Is this the moment where it comes all together again?
Make the deliberate choice.
Yeah. And I can say there were moments. I feel I did well. But that doesn't mean I can't keep
doing better. But you remember those moments.
I do remember those moments.
And they carry you forward.
They do. And I hold on to them. And I know he would be proud of me. You know, that's he with a capital H.
Yep. That's exactly where you want to be.
Exactly. Oh, inspiring. Mic drop. Oh my gosh. See what I mean? We literally just mic dropped it.
That's what I'm here for.
You're hilarious. Well, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this was incredible, and I wish everyone would just, like, had the opportunity to, like, read through your, I'm sure, your amazing journals here of, like, just, like, the best scripture studies. I'm sure of it, like, without a doubt.
I hope so.
Thanks, everyone who's listening, and I really hope that you take this time this week to, whatever that is on your mind, go apply it. Like, this is the time. If not now, then when?
Yep, you'll delay and you'll forget.
Exactly. No more of that. No more.
No
Jesus more
delay.
Want to do that.
It's hard, but it's worth it.
And it's always so worth it. God himself said that. Thanks again. Oh, this was so great. We love Jesus so much. 10 out of 10. Go get some points for Jesus. Go apply it. And we'll see you next week.